Well, I'd appreciate your prayers. Well, I want to kind of get to the bottom line. And the bottom line tonight is heaven. The bottom line for us is to get to heaven.
Yes.
Everything else, I appreciate, I can say this, I appreciate the Lord. I thank the Lord. I believe that living for God is the most superior life that you can live on this earth. I believe that it brings what we really want. I think it's a peaceful, good life. And I would recommend living this way to anyone. I'm saying as far as this earth goes. But the bottom line isn't this earth. The bottom line is heaven. And if we could keep heaven in view, in our hearts and mind, as the bottom line of why we do what we do, is to be able to hear the Lord say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servants, enter into the joys of the Lord." That is the bottom line for everything we do. Should be for every decision we make. Ought to have that as a part of why we're making that decision. Because that's the bottom line of it all. We are so earthbound sometimes. Lord help us. We live one day after another without really the idea that we are going to eternity. We are going to heaven. We're blinded to our own life here sometimes. I don't know exactly, but I'm going to take a guess that I came down here the first time to Shawnee, to this chapel, somewhere around 20 years ago. And if I can say, this isn't the same setting. This isn't the same group of people. As a matter of fact, there's very few people here that was in the setting I was here 20 years ago. And most of them that were here are gone to their reward. That seems like such a short time ago to me to look back. To be able to say that if in that short of a time going forward, a lot of us here won't be here. And the bottom line isn't about here. It isn't whether I can outdo my neighbor to get a foot of land off of him. Or if I can outdo him to keep him to get a foot of mine. Or if I can outdo someone for a little bit of pocket money. Or if I can pull some kind of a deal. Or I can. The bottom line of all that we're doing is where we're going to spend eternity at. Because the Lord, we're going to all have to stand before the Lord one of these days. According to the Scriptures, He's either going to say, "Well done," or He's going to say, "Depart from me." One of the two is going to be said from the Lord. And every one of us are going to have to stand there for ourselves. If we can get a vision of this, folks, leave this set solidly in our hearts and minds, I believe that it would help us in the decisions that we make about life. Because sometimes things are just not that important. They're just not that big a deal. I have seen in my lifetime of observation, I have seen well-meaning people come down to places in their life. I've seen it happen many times when mom or dad passes away and there's children, and many times they get along well and been doing pretty well, maybe older children and those kind of things, and there is an inheritance to deal with. Now there's something left. Do you know how many times that issue becomes a dividing issue about what I'm going to get or what I'm going to gain? I'm going to tell you tonight, if you're in those kind of places, let heaven help The things that you're looking at are only temporal anyway. If 20 years you're not here, that won't make no difference anyway. And you ain't promised 20. You're not promised that much. It might not be that much. But for me to take that kind of an attitude and say a lot of times it's not even about that so much as it's just the fact that I'm not going to let them outdo me. I know what they're trying to do. They've been like that all their life. You'll hear those kind of things. I remember when they was young, they tried to do the same thing. I remember that. Okay, so they did. But what about heaven? What about eternity? Well, I know we're human. And I know it's easy to get carried away with the things of life. And sometimes it's not just that, it's just not black and white, is it? Sometimes it's just not so clear to say, where should I stand or what should I do? But let me tell you what will clear it up. The idea that I don't make it to heaven. That's going to clear it up. Because then I'm going to be looking at it from a different perspective. Do you think that we can really understand what it's going to be like to be in heaven? I think we see through a glass darkly. I think the Lord tried to bridge the gap between the great eternal and our fleshly minds. So He gave us a few indicators that will allow our minds to go there, but I don't think that it's possible to describe it to us till we can really understand it, because we have these few things that kind of makes it that, and I don't know. I really don't know. I have to say, I can only take what the Word says. I think it's trying to describe with earthly things an eternal thing. Streets of gold. You know what? I don't see where, if you can't dig it up and spin it anywhere, I don't know if it'd be better to walk on gold than marble or gold and asphalt. I really don't know that concrete wouldn't be just as good. You know what I'm saying? But it's saying, that's not what it's doing. It's trying to describe the splendor of it. It's much more than I think that you and I can understand. And I don't know. And every time I hear somebody describing heaven, in their minds, it's what pleasure they get here on earth. For instance, if somebody likes dogs, then they'll have dogs there. Because what would heaven be like without petting your dog? Because that's the most joy I can get on this side. So the dog must be there in heaven. And then there's a description of some guy that likes to fish, and of course he's sitting on the riverbank under an oak tree with the fishing pole between his legs and a straw hat over his head, and that's heaven to him. And we have things like flowing streams and fields of clover and those kind of things. And the only thing that people can describe is what we see on earth, because we're earthly. I think it's much more than that, though. I don't think those things apply. I think it's going to be wonderful. Yes. To be honest with you, I don't know what it is, but I'll say of my earnest that the Lord's given me, I felt the power, I felt the presence of the Lord in my soul. It's outdone everything else I ever tried to do in life. It's simple. It's winning. It's warm. It's beautiful. It's calm. It's pleasant. It's got these qualities. The Lord in my soul has outdone everything that I tried to amuse myself with. Every ride that I ever took. Every thrill that I tried to get. That very presence of the Lord outshadows and outdoes all of it. And I think we just got the earnest. I think of the overwhelming idea of being in the actual presence of God Almighty must be sensational beyond describe. It can't be described. I wonder if we understand what hell will be. There's some descriptions of it, but it's like trying to say of the eternal to an earthly mind. A fire that burns. And we know what burning is. And the torment of flame and what it feels like. I do a lot of silly things. And I was mowing, and after I got through mowing, I went to put the lawnmower up in the truck, and my mind even said, when I reached down to pick it up, don't grab the muffler. My mind said it. I mean, I remember here, I mean, that come to my mind, don't grab the muffler. And immediately, my mind says that the muffler is on one side of the mower, and it was on the other. And so when I grabbed it, I grabbed this muffler that had been running for, and my head was burning. It was like, and I tried to get water on it, and it burned, and it burned. And I'm telling you, all day long, that thing just burned intensely. And I thought, it was just kind of the ends of my fingers, three fingers there. And I was thinking, that's just my fingers. Lord, are you serious? Are you serious? Is there a place that the soul could go and have that kind of torment? I don't know that even describes it. There's a description somewhere is that there is a cold that is so cold, and we know this. Things in a freezer can freeze or burn. We know that there's a cold that is so cold. There's a darkness that's so dark that it can be burning with darkness and cold. And it's described sometimes that hell is so dark, it's so removed from God, it's so cold and lost in a way that it burns like fire, and it burns the soul that's away from God. I don't know how to describe these things to our hearts and minds, but I want to leave the impression that we don't want to find out what that is. The bottom line in the decisions we make with one another is heaven. Am I going to be able to get rid of my wife and go get another woman and be able to make it to heaven? I better consider that. Amen. Am I going to be able to justify in my life the things that I do when I get before the Lord? Is He going to say, that's okay with you, I'll make an exception? Then the decisions we make is very, very important in this, in what we're doing. And whether I'm going to be approved of God, because there's so many things out there, will I be able to intermittain myself, my flesh, with the worldliness that's around me? Am I going to be able to go to the casinos? Am I going to be able to do the things that and claim to be a Christian and stand before God and Him say, you're approved, well done, you've done a good job with that? It's a question. And there is those that try to justify and want to be religious and want to believe that it's okay. And that's one thing to say, but when you get down and fine-tune this down, folks, and really believe in heaven and hell, and the choices that we make, it's going to make the decision in that it's going to change the way we do things. Because I'm going to have to really consider my life. I want to go to heaven. Because really, I see... You young people, I've been young. It's really hard to get your mind around these things sometimes when you're young. But when you start getting older, and when I was young, it was strange. I look at it now. I remember when I was really young, one of my cousins lived below us. Well, third cousin, but they lived down below us. It was our age, and they lived down there, and the community children would come sometimes and come there to play. In the evenings, in the summer. And we would say to Mom, Mom, can we go down to Daryl's and play? And my mom sometimes would say, well, you can go down for an hour. How? An hour was eternity. An hour was so long to me. For a child to go play for an hour down there, oh, there was so much you could do. There was so much time. You had an hour. All that. What do you think about an hour right now? 20 till. I'm going to tell you, I don't look at an hour the same way anymore. An hour is nothing. It's going by for my life so fast. It is getting away from me. It's getting away from me. I'm starting to be one of these old guys that look around and say, what happened? I'm my grandchildren. I look through these eyes sometimes and I forget. And they'll go look in the mirror and remember. It is really catching us. And time is going on. And Lord, help us, because I'm on a fast track to eternity. And so the decisions that we make ought to be made for eternity. Folks, we need to be diligent. We need to make decisions towards heaven. We need to start saying, my soul is important enough to fight for. I need to get everything I can. We need to take advantage of every place, every time, everything that we can. We need to take advantage. We need to set in our lives patterns and habits of life, of spiritual things. We need to make a habit of seeking God. We need a habit of being able to humble ourselves before the Lord. We need to make a habit in our lives that if I do anything that's not right, I need to make it right. If I say anything, I'm quick to say, I'm sorry. I need to be quick to forgive when things happen, because things will happen. They will happen. And it feels good to the flesh sometimes for us to hang on to things and keep them and build something in our hearts, because you done me wrong, brother. You done me wrong, and I want you to feel the pain of doing me wrong. So I'm going to act a certain way so you'll realize that. But there's a danger. There's a danger in not taking care of it in your heart and having a bitterness there or an envy there or a jealousy there, because you may go out and end eternity with that. Or you may say, I don't want to keep it forever. I'm going to keep it for a little while. I realize I shouldn't keep that. God's not going to approve of that. I wouldn't want to stand before the Lord with things in my heart and life. But this is one of those balancing places right here. But I'm going to tell you what happens. It's not just that you're ushered off into eternity with something in your heart. What happens is you get it in there and then you can't get it out. It isn't that simple for us to change ourselves by our own will. Understand what I'm saying? There is people that think in young... I remember when I was growing up, I never got the habit myself, but I remember the habit of people started getting of smoking that cigarette. And there's nothing wrong with smoking one cigarette or starting one smoke. Or not, there couldn't be anything wrong with just that. But it didn't stop with that. And then the thing that they thought they got a hold of, got a hold of them. And then they couldn't let go of it by their own will and own determination. And they tried, but it had a hold. And sometimes it's the same way with the other things that we get into our hearts and lives. We think we shouldn't have it. We think we ought to get rid of it. But there's no ability in my mind to be able to get rid of that. You've done me wrong and it hurts me. And I can't get rid of it. And I've held it so long that it's a normal part of the way I respond to life in that. And then any time that person comes to hurt me, comes into the place, I automatically have a feeling, and now I've went over it so many times, I don't feel bad about it. Then how am I going to get rid of it? But eternity is at stake. Lord help us. It wouldn't matter except for one thing. God gave us a great grace that nobody could say, I can't do better. Because of the grace of God, there isn't any place in our lives that can't be conquered by His grace and by His power. And there will be witnesses that will stand up in the judgment to be able to make the judgment. When we say that was too big for me, there will be someone that will arrive with twice that much to say, by God's grace, I overcame. And then where's that going to leave us? Pitiful. There are going to be those that makes excuses for not going to service, and here goes the preacher again. But I want us to make decisions for our souls. There'll be those that will make the decisions about not going to service, and they'll be, as I saw, used to be, I don't know if it still is, but Sister Irma used to have a thing on her one that was just over in Africa, and it had a little caption on the bottom of it that some of these people traveled, walked through the jungle 2 and 3 days to get the service. My vehicle's air conditioned. And I don't walk anywhere but from the door of the house to the vehicle, which is about 20 feet. And I drive about a mile and a half to service, but yet there's going to be somebody that rises up that says, I walked for days through hardship to hear the word of the Lord. Well, Lord help us. We live in a very cushy time. You better be careful. You don't get cushy. I want to look at a scripture. The Apostle Paul. This is one of my top scriptures. 2 Timothy 4.
and 6.
It says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." He was talking about the time that whether it was revealed to him by the Spirit, I don't know, or whether or not the sentence had already come down that tomorrow you die. I don't know what Paul was referring to, but he recognized that his time had come. Of all his labors and works and the time that the Lord spared him of so many things, got him out of so many... Apostle Paul's life was in danger all the time. He said that. His life was in jeopardy all the time. He could have died in shipwreck. He could have died by snake bite. He could have died by beatings. He could have been stung to death. All these things happened to him, but the Lord kept him from death through all of those things as a worker of the Lord. He left him there, but now Paul recognizes that all this has come to the end and the will of God for my life has been fulfilled, and now I'm ready, he says, to be... He was talking about the old idea in the Old Testament of a drink offering. They used to make offerings and they would pour wine or oils on it, and David's men went and got him water one time, and David had a drink offering where he poured it out to the Lord. And Paul's referring to that offering that was required of the Lord that they poured on the offerings, and he was saying, I am ready to be poured. My life, I'm ready to be... The end has come. I'm ready for that. Oh, how valuable for us as people of God to be in the place that I know that the Lord is real. I know that He's right. I know that there is a heaven to gain. I have lived my life faithful, and now I can say I'm ready to be offered. Oh, I'm going to tell you, I've seen it. I've seen the people of God. I've seen them say, I'm ready. I'm ready to go on and be with the Lord. And do you know what kind of a difference that makes to the ones that's left? That is so wonderful to have an experience to where you can say, I've made decisions for heaven. I haven't made them for these earth. I made it for heaven. And now, I get to be poured out. It's my time. Others have had their times. Brother Veda used to be here. Brother Veda's been poured out. Sister Carrie, his wife, used to be... She's poured out. The other brothers and them people that's been here over the years, they gave it. They give their devotion. They give their time. They give their faithfulness. And now we're left. And we need to have a testimony. And an idea of looking for the Lord. Waiting for my day. This is my time. I know that in a natural sense there's a fear of death. I know the struggle of those kind of things. But listen, there is also a power in God and a place that God wants us to be that goes over top the sting of death and the idea of the grave, that gives us power over those kind of things that we can say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. It's time for that. Whatever you have in my life, the time, the place, that. Lord, it's just, I'm making decisions that way. It's what I'm living for. I'm living to get to go to heaven. Lord, fulfill my days. I don't want to go if I'm not ready. I don't want you to go if you ain't ready. But there's something different about going when you're ready. Because that's what we're fighting for. So the apostle says, I'm ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. Listen to this. He said, I have fought. That in itself, I have fought. Past tense, I have fought. Paul's coming to the place now that now he knows. He recognizes, like I say, through the Spirit of the Lord or an actual sentence on him, I don't know, but he recognizes that my departure is at hand. And now he starts reflecting on what life was of his ministry and what he'd done. And he said, I fought. Oh, I fought. What do you think that means? Yeah, that guy down there come out on the corner and I laid one right on the nose. Well, I fought. I fought. They said something about God. They said something about the church and I got a good uppercut on him. I kicked him down. We fought. I pulled my sword out and cut his ear off. We fought. We've been fighting the whole way. We've been going up against the Romans. We've been throwing rocks at them. Been throwing stones at them. Protesting in the street. No, he said, I fought. I fought against the devil. I fought against falseness. I fought against my own flesh. I fought against the things that would tear me down. I fought against the notions that would come and the things that would challenge me of being a Christian. I fought against those things. And when the desires, unlustful desires had come, I fought that thing. I fought and I won by the grace of God. I fought a good fight. I wonder if that means that he never got kicked or scratched or bruised. I think if he was here, he'd say, oh no, that means that I took a plenty. I took a plenty shots. Here and there. But I fought. Folks, do you realize that getting knocked down is part of fighting? You might say, I feel like I'm such a failure. Well, join the club. That's the fight. Sometimes we feel like a failure. The fight is I'm going to get up. And at the end, I'm going to be able to say, I fought. The devil thought he had me down, and I got up. People thought he was going to, the devil thought that if he'd done enough to me, I'd walk away, and I kept on going anyway. I had the right to hate. People's done me wrong. I had a right to declare justice, but I had mercy instead. I had a right to hate, but instead of hating, I prayed love through until the love of God shone in my heart. He said, I fought. I'm going to go up and witness to some people and the Holy Ghost is going to get me there and I have to be a shipwreck to go there and the feelings that must come. Lord, can't you do any better than that? Well, I can't testify for the Lord. Maybe I oughtn't, or for Paul. Maybe I oughtn't try. But I remember the first trip I went as a minister. I was going down the road in an old Plymouth van that was a little 5-speed. It was wore completely out. I was going to a meeting. And the transmission went out in it. Halfway to South Carolina, North Wilkesboro, North Carolina, I still don't remember where the van gave it up. And I go drifting over beside the road. Here I am, I left home with such gusto, going in the name of the Lord, going to the meeting, going to go down there, and I just gone with such, God, and my van tears up. And as the van's drifted over, no enemy speaks these words. Is that all he can do? Oh, he said the wrong thing. If he'd have left it alone, I'd have come up with some something, Father, and been discouraged. But the devil said, is that all he can do? And reminded me who I was serving. I'm serving a God that's able. And I said, no, that's not all he can do. And you know what I found out he can do? Which was a greater miracle than if the van would have been fixed. He left me sitting beside the road, broke down, joyful in heart. I was there just thanking the Lord, praise the Lord, this is good. This is good. God's good. I fought those kind of battles. Paul fought the kind of battles where he gets shipwrecked and crawls out and snake bites him. Comes up to a fire and a snake bites him. And how of a sudden do you have to go? God's with you all the way through those kind of things. You know what the devil wants? He wants you to get a bad attitude. You got a bad attitude? The devil wants you to have a bad attitude. And that's what he's going to try to get you to get is a bad attitude. And when he gets a good bad attitude gone, there is some people that hardly ever learn the lesson that their spiritual life isn't about other people. Other people done this, or other people done that, and some people are just leeches, and some people just trying to draw off, and if you ain't doing for me, and if you ain't doing for me, and you ain't getting there, I want you to go beyond that and fight a good fight. It don't matter what people do. I need to have a joyful spirit. I need to have my trust and faith in God, not in people. I want to fight a good fight. I'm going to stay away from the things that the devil tries to bring in. But I'm going to tell you what. The devil may not have invented a lot of the stuff we have now, but he'll use everything he can use. So you be careful about what you get your hands on. Make decisions for heaven. And if you can't handle it, you better get away from it. Some things are just flat environmental. I mean, it's environment. And the Scripture says that if your eye offends you, pluck it out. If your hand offends you, cut it off. That's changing the environment. If I can't control the hand, I'll cut it off till I can't do it. It's better to go without a hand than to go to hell. It's better to go without an eye than to go to hell. It's better to go without the internet than to go to hell. It's better to go without the gadgets and the phones and the things than to go to hell. I ain't saying that you have to do it. I'm just saying you better make decisions based on eternity. And you know what that is? That's fighting. Paul looked back and in all these things he said, I fought. I fought the authorities from Rome. I fought them, not carnally, but I fought them. I fought them when they tried to get me to quit preaching and the Jews come and try to get me to quit. I fought the hierarchy of the Jews. I fought the Roman government. I fought them all through faith and through the Spirit. I fought them. I fought them to keep a right attitude. I fought them. I'm praying for them and praying for their salvation. That's the fight, folks. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's a fight. That's a fight. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. Oh, that's made for heaven. Lord, help us. He said, I've fought a good fight. If you fought a good fight, well, don't look and say that it's over. Don't look and say, well, I ain't fought. No, it's not over. There's plenty of time to fight. Fighting is coming back. The good man falls seven times and arises again. He ain't bad for falling. He's good for rising. Get up and go again. Learn how to humble yourself before the Lord. Got heaven at stake. We can lose a little bit of here. We can lose a little hide here to be able to make it over there. We got to do whatever it takes.
Yes.
The Scripture says it's a straight and a narrow way. Few be that find it. I'm reminded of an old story in a book that I read. It was a true story of a prisoner of war camp. These officers was in this, the Koditz camp. It was an old castle of some time. They converted it into a big POW camp for the officers. And they was always trying to escape out of there. And three of these guys, they went to their head, the head guy that determined they could try it. And they said, we want to try and escape. And he let them have the right to escape. So they go to escape. And they had a plan how they'd get out of their room, how they'd get down the wall, how they'd get into the inner part of the complex. And they never had a plan for getting out. They just figured they'd get there and they'd try to get out. And the plan went perfectly. They got down there and they went and kept trying to find a place to get out. And they found one little place in the wall that, best I remember, it was 9 inches. That's about the end of my pinky finger to the end of there. 9 inches up and down. It was like a 36, and it had kind of an elbow in it. And that, there was a hole through the wall that big. And they looked at that and said, can't go through that. They went around. They couldn't find anything. It was going to get light before long. They knew it was going to get caught. And they come up to that hole one more time and said, there it is. We got to go through that hole. So they got the first guy. They got the littlest one they had, the little guy. He got his hand in there sideways. He got his arms in there. And he's a wiggling and they're pushing. He's skipped completely off. Nothing, you can't take nothing with you, folks. Nothing else is going to go. This race is going to have to... You ain't going to take the weights and things with you. You're going to have to tuck it down. He got it down, got him in there, and the two guys was behind him, pushing, and he was a wiggling and squirming and pushing. I imagine he was losing some hide in there on that concrete, too, on that block, and wiggling and through that, and they got him through. Then they said for the biggest guy, the big guy, he's going to get in there now, and put him in there, and he gets in there, and the little guy's got his arms on the... He's a pulling. Now the guys are pushing, and he's a wiggling. And it took a while. And he's stuck in there and moving just a little, trying to get in there. But they got him through. The third man got in, and the two guys, they pulled him, and they got, and they went through that straight and narrow, that difficult passage, and they made it through there determined to lay it all aside. This is for my freedom. Folks, I'm going to tell you, that's the way it's going to have to be. When you start thinking about what I'm going to stick my heart on, folks, we can't afford to let anything hinder us on this side. If it takes it, drop it off. It ain't that meaningful. It just plain don't matter. In the grand scope of it, it doesn't matter. So somebody done you wrong. It won't be long till eternity is going to sort all those things out. Don't be caught with it. You know, out of all the people that tried to escape, those three men was able to get out of that prison of war camp and made their way to the Swiss line, made it into Switzerland, and made it back, ended up making it back to England. Those three men was able to make it all the way with the determination that they had going to give it all. Well, the apostle says, I fought a good fight. I gave my all in everything that I could give. In every place that I could, I fought. And now I'm down to only reflections. And my reflection back is, I fought a good fight. Now listen, there's ideas more than you think here, because the idea of a good fight is just that. I fought the good fight. This wasn't a carnal fight. This wasn't a bad fight. This wasn't a bad fight to have. I fought a good one. This was the good fight to have. This, because of what is going to end up with it. I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Now this all, if you look into this, you'll find out that what the apostle is doing, he is making an allusion to the old athletic games of the time. There was about five different series of these games that they had, and this was what he was referring to. He was referring to boxing and running and wrestling and fighting. So here's what he's referring to this. So now I finished my race, my course, the one God gave me. I'm not the one I determined. I finished a course that was laid out for me. This course was laid out. I don't know when it ends. I don't know what I'll face. Neither do you. You don't know that this next year will be adversity or prosperity, because they're laid up one against the other. The Scripture says that no man can know which one comes after another. You don't know the way it's laid up. It's kind of like dominoes. Adversity and prosperity, and adversity and prosperity, and adversity, and you hit it and they go falling one after another. Today's prosperous, tomorrow's adversity. And then prosperity and then adversity. Today it seems like everything's glowing and right, and tomorrow we're all sick and things are going bad, and finances are changed and all those kind of things. And that's the way life is. But it's a course that God made for each and every one of us. Destined to go to heaven. That's the design of God's course for you. Who you are. What you are. How you are. The things that will come into your life, the things that you'll have to face, is a course of God. Who else can you blame for it? You can't blame me. I don't have enough power to run my own life, let alone set yours. No, it's God Almighty that sets it in His providence for your life. And Paul says, I looked at the life that I have had. I was born in due time. I was born a Pharisee of the Pharisee. I was raised understanding the Scriptures and to know things. God had an intention that He was going to use me that way one day. I was warped and didn't have it right. But God in His mercy come and gave me a course of those things and made me a saint of God and a worker of His. And I followed the course that God has given me to prosper the gospel. And I run that race. And everything to try to get in my way, I just kept going my course, and wouldn't let my course in God be altered or changed. I'm going to live according to what the Lord wants me to live and what He wants me to do. And he says, I run my course. I made it through all of those different things. The obstacles, the places, the people I met, the places I went, the sunnings, the meetings, all those things was a part of a course. And I just kept right on going. Sometimes there's people that says, I'm not doing that.
I said, wait a minute. Maybe the Lord wants, I ain't doing it, it don't matter. Wait a minute. Maybe the Lord wants you to go. Maybe he's going, I ain't going through it.
Well, you can choose what you want to, but at the end of the course is the great city. At the end of the course is our eternal destiny. The course that God lays for each and every one of us. So he says, I finished the course. I want to look at a scripture that goes along with that idea. In the ninth, we'll come back to that. But we'll look at it just a minute in the 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, know ye not that they which run a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run. Know ye not. You do know. This is the way the English is, isn't it? But know ye not? Yes, you do. You know that they which run a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. One's going to come in first and he's going to get the prize, right? But it's not so with us. Everybody can run. He says, so run that you may obtain. Not that you're outrunning anybody, but you're running the race to obtain. You're running that race to heaven, that course that God has set for you, that heaven would be the reward. He says, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. You know what they got in them old games? They made a garland? A wreath? And they made it out of pine or palm or parsley. But they made these wreaths. And when the winner crosses the finish line as the winner, he gets the glory of everybody watching him. He won, he's the winner, and they take the gun and they put it on his head, and that's what he gets. Well, you talk about a corruptible crown, because that thing ain't lasting long, no matter what they did with it. It was going to wilt and that, but he has moment in the sun, what he got. He got it for a little bit of time. Folks, this is an analogy, this is an idea of running an earthly fight. It doesn't matter what you get on this earth, it fades. It dims. It passes away. So you won. You won what? Nothing that matters. You won a vanity. You won emptiness. So you won a spelling bee. Well, good that you can spell. That's good, and it shows that you accomplished something. But as far as the trophy and everything goes, just because you won a trophy in the third grade for spelling your words, really don't go very far in life. And there's drunks that won it. There's people that's been on drugs that's won it. It doesn't mean anything. I ain't putting anybody down for spelling. I'm just saying there's a higher reward than that thing. So I outdone my sister and my brother, and I got the heirloom that Mom had and her grandma had, and I outdone them, and I fought, and we argued and we fought, and I ended up getting it because I wouldn't give it away, and I won. But what did you win? Their appreciation? Their love? What did you win? And in a few years, you get to go to eternity, and you can't even take the heirloom with you. You got to give it up. So he says, run all. And they that run a race, their mastery. When they try to do this, folks, they eat right, they work right, they work out, they're diligent, because they have a one-minded thing, a purpose in their heart to win. Lord, help us to have the same kind of mind that this earth has about earthly things. Because they sure put out for nothing. And Lord, help us to have a little concern about eternity. I, therefore, so run. Not as uncertainly, so fight I. Not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So the amazing idea that the Apostle Paul looks at the idea of his life, his ministry, the miracles that was wrought by his hands, the prayers that was answered, the thousands upon thousands, the churches that he was able to establish, the people that come under, all the things that God done through his life, and he turns around and says to us that if I give in to the flesh, I'll lose my soul. That should be, I want to tell you, if the Apostle Paul can say it, you and I ought to say it. If he can get lose his soul by giving into the flesh, then you can lose yours. And I can lose mine. And he says, I keep my body in subjection. I keep the flesh in subjection. I don't let it out because if I do, after I preach to others, now I'm a reprobate. And when I come before the Lord, He'll say, depart from me. Lord, help us. He was making a decision for eternity. I'm going to put my body under. I'm going to suffer what I have to. I'm going to be in need if I have to. I'm going to suffer persecution if I have to. I'm going to make a laughing stock if I have to. I'm going to go through whatever I have to on this earth to make heaven my home. I'll put my body under. Lord, help us to put our body under. It does. You can humble yourself. And many times I'll say, well, that I don't want. I want a name that glorifies God. I want a reputation that glorifies God. And somebody comes along and besmirches my reputation. And I say, I don't want somebody that's being claiming to be a Christian that looks bad on God. And then the Lord says, they called me Beelzebub. I thought, Lord, what must that have felt like? You had a good name. You're the Son of God. You loved everybody. You wanted people to believe that you were the Son of God for their salvation. And they're thinking you're Beelzebub. And people's telling them that. And no doubt they wouldn't have told them if they couldn't have persuaded somebody to do it. And what must the Lord thought about that? Well, I imagine He felt the way I felt about it. That hurts and it isn't good. But now He's got to realize, what did He do about it? And He died on the cross for him. I'll show you for saying that. You call me Beelzebub, I'll go die on the cross for you. How about a witness of ours when we're done that way? When men persecute you, when they revile you, pray for them and love them. And thus we fight the good fight. I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. I want to tell you that's powerful to me. Because what he was saying is, it's just not, he's not talking about just the faith that you believe that there's God, which is a part of it. He's talking about the convictions that the Lord taught him in his life, a way of life. And he was saying that I grabbed the hold of these things as the Lord brought them to me and was able to carry them all the way to this final moment. As I reflect back, and of all the times that the devil tried to get me to change my heart and life and mind, I believe that you ought to love your enemies. The Lord taught it. I believe it. And he said, I was able to believe that still. After all that I went through, stonings of being, they're shortly going to take my head off. And I still have faith to believe that I'm to love them. I want to tell you, that's to go to heaven with, folks. So a few years ago, you may have heard me tell this, but a few years ago I had a guy that was quite upset with me. I mean quite. Enough to get a gun and put it right up to my head. Right there with his knuckles whitening on it and him gritting his teeth. I'm going to kill you. And he had the gun right up against my head when he was saying that. Well, he didn't pull the trigger. But he did haul back and hit me right in the head with the end of that gun. Put a little round barrel spot right on the side of my head right there. Then he tried to beat me out of my truck with his fist. And all this time, I want to tell you, he never hurt me. I'm going to tell you, God totally protected me from this madman, this raving man. He tried to pull me out of the truck, and all I did was sit there, and he could not budge me. He couldn't budge me. I just sat there and he couldn't move me. He couldn't do a thing. He couldn't hurt me with a gun barrel. He couldn't hurt me with his hands. He couldn't hurt me. I'm not going to be bigger than I am here, folks. I had to fight a fight. At the time, it wasn't bad. But later, as these things were relived in my mind, the devil come in with all the you shoulds. And I fought a fight. And by God's grace, I won. I won. And I'm not even going to say that the battle won't come back, because there's the thing to fight. But I can say I fought a good fight. I still believe, folks, that man did not change me from the idea that we are to love our enemies. And that the best thing that we can do is to, when we're reviled, is not revile again. I still believe in the Lord. The Lord proved to me that He can protect His children. By faith is the way to fight. The apostle says, and through all of this time and all these moments and all this traveling and all the beatings and all the things that happened, and you can read about it in Scriptures, I got to the end of this reflecting back and say, I've kept the faith. Thank God I kept the faith through it all. Brother Vader used to testify to us. I remember when he testified, of course he ended up a lot more than that, but he testified that he had got saved and he had been saved for 60 years. Never backslid, never went back. 60 years, I used to say, thank God, because if Brother Vader can do it, I can do it too by God's grace. Lord help us. And in this last part, why would I do it all? Why would the apostle give so much? It's because of this. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only. Now here he goes. He's told us this for a reason. He's told them for a reason. It's went down through the generations. He's telling us for a reason. This is why I've done it. For the crown that the Lord will give me in that day, but not to me only, but to all them also that love His appearing. Oh, that's the bottom line, folks. The bottom line is that big jobs, big careers, we got to work in this life. We should do the best we can. All the things that we can try to accomplish is the big mansions, the fine cars, the big bank accounts, fame, fortune, beauty, whatever you want to do, means nothing when you strike the bottom line. The bottom line is, it's either well done or depart from me. You pray for me.